Welcome into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, of course, with Veritas Medical. Check out our website, veritasmedical.com. Our telephone number at the clinic, 1-855-6-VERITAS, located right here off East 50th Street, close to the radio station. I can almost throw a stone and hit
it. Yeah, it's nice.
Very cool. Dr. Ben Edwards back in the studio with us. Again, along the way, if you have any questions about your health, feel free to give us a call at any time throughout the program, 745-5800, or you can text that in as well, 806-745-5800. Let me say good morning to Dr. Ben Edwards and, of course, Melody Wilkes.
Good morning. You don't.
Good morning, Wade.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Dr. Edwards.
Melody.
Yes. Sorry.
Thank you.
Did you?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We've missed you the past couple of Mondays.
Well,
I've missed
being here.
Christmas and New Year.
Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah. We had a very good Christmas. We did a non-traditional this year and told the kids no presents, and we put all our funds into taking a trip. Went to Keystone, Colorado, and went skiing.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
A lot of fun.
Yeah,
had creating a good memories there.
Yep. Lots of good memories. Watching a 3- and a 5-year-old go down a mountain on skis is—that's good memories.
Me holding my breath.
Yeah, they were in the little ski school and had a lot of fun.
That's great.
It's good.
It's always good to teach them when they're young too.
Yeah.
When they get older, you start getting more aware of, well, I could fall and hurt myself or injure a knee, and I'm going skiing. I think on Super Bowl weekend I'll be up in Angel Fire Taos, and I'm getting to the age now where I'm still a really good skier, but I'm always a little bit paranoid about that now in the back of my head. I'm thinking, if I fall, and you know, it doesn't, you're not like
it doesn't feel good.
You don't bounce quite like you used to when you were little.
No. And I have been fortunate after all these years of not being really injured on the slopes. There's been a few major wipeouts I've had, and I've gotten up and kind of shook the snow off and made my way back down the mountain and thought, man, that hurt. And the last time I got wiped out was a couple of years ago where a guy out of nowhere blindsided me. And I was going down a black diamond, and the guy was skiing out of control, and he hit me probably doing, 20 miles an hour.
Mm.
And that's like getting hit from like an NFL player. They run at that kind of speed.
Yeah.
And it totally knocked me down. I didn't get up for about literally 15 minutes. I just laid there in pain, withering pain. And, of course, you have the yard sale where the skis go everywhere and the glasses are gone. And I just thought, man, I'm going to give this up.
Hey, you know what? Locate a good chiropractor before you go skiing.
And after.
Where to go.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. That's a great point, by the way. But anyway, so, I think because this is 2017, I know you probably got a lot on the agenda this morning, but to talk about where people are, everybody makes the New Year's resolutions. Everybody says, I'm going to go to a gym. I'm going to really turn my health around. I'm going to do all these great things. And I think what happens to a lot of people is they set the unrealistic goals that I'm going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in 3 months.
Yeah.
And then that doesn't happen, and then they give up, and then they go, nah, by spring break, we're not going to the gym anymore, and we never really corrected the diet.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I think someone told me this, I don't know how accurate it is, but these gyms with their 1 or 2 year commitments on membership, they get 90% of those members signed up in January, and by March, there's only like 5% utilization or something crazy like that. And that's just human nature. We want to jump in and do something for a motivation that's not true, and then when the results don't come like we think they should, we bail out. So it's got to be truth, number one. It's got to fit into your daily routine, number two, and it's got to just be something that you believe in and can stick with. And that's the problem with so much of this health and fitness and weight loss. It's not based on truth, and therefore long-term results aren't really there. So, I mean, it's kind of a little bit of a pet peeve of mine. I see all these commercials for the gym memberships, which it's great to exercise. But the problem is the mentality behind it is burn more calories out than what you put in. And that doesn't work. It works in the short term, but in the long term, your metabolism actually is turned down. So long term, you just shut your metabolism down, and it's harder to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And weight gain and weight fat burn, fat storage is totally a hormone issue, 100% hormone issue. It's not about eat less, burn out more. Calories in, calories out. That model is not accurate. I was even watching on the Food Network over the holidays with my kids. They love watching that show Chopped. And this version of Chopped was a quote-unquote healthy version. So they had these four chefs up there trying to cook healthy by the standard of the world. And it was driving me nuts because they were all trying to do low calorie. And one of the judges, who was supposedly the health expert, kept talking about low calories, low calories. And there was one chef on there who knew the truth and who knew it wasn't about calories in, calories out. So she was cooking with coconut oil and fatty nuts and avocados and bacon grease and, I mean, all the right stuff. And that health expert kept getting on to her. Well, that, you know, this tasted good, but it's way too many calories. And I just was pulling my hair out, yelling at the TV that this guy's ignorant. He doesn't know the truth. So that's probably my two biggest pet peeves. The gyms thinking you can burn more out than you put in, you'll lose weight, and then it's all about calories. Because both those are not accurate.
Well, right, but you see a lot of people this time of year also that will go through that caloric restriction idea.
Yeah.
What about that?
That's what I'm talking about, calories in, calories out. When you reduce your calories, you count calories, and you think, all right, if my metabolic rate is, say, 1,500, then I'll only eat 1,200. Calories, and that means, and then I'll go exercise a little more, and I'll lose more than I, you know, because I burn more out than I put in. Well, that works. The science shows, when you review the literature, it shows that does work for the first month or two or three. But when you chronically restrict calories like that, so you only eat 1,000 calories, say, in 2 to 3 months, your body turns down the burn, turns down the engine, turns down your metabolism. So where you were burning, say, 1,500 calories, now you turned it down to only 800 calories. So you'll lose that weight initially, and everybody sees this. That first month or two, you lose 5, 10, 15 pounds. But then look at it 6 and 12 months down the road, you actually are back heavier than when you started. And January rolls around again, and you do it all over again. It's because you turn your metabolic rate down with caloric restriction. And the constant fed state, because that's what other people preach, is you got to eat a lot of small meals all throughout the day. Start with a breakfast, eat at 10 a.m., then noon, then, you know, a snack in the afternoon. You're eating all day long. Well, what that does is shut down your growth hormone and all your anabolic hormones in the morning. That's when we naturally start producing anabolic hormones, is about 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. Anabolic hormones are good. That's what builds tissue. It repairs and builds tissue, and it burns fat. But it shuts down when you start putting calories into your mouth. So that constant calorie going in all day long, every day, is also not beneficial. So pretty much, you know, one of my mentors, Dr. Pompa, calls it the 180 rule. Pretty much anything you see on TV or mainstream media, you do 180 opposite of what it's telling you to do. So
wow.
It's the common knowledge is, let's eat 6 small meals throughout the day. Do the opposite. Don't eat. You know, it's called intermittent fasting. We've talked about that before. We'll talk about it some more today. You know, eat less calories and burn more out. Well, do 180 opposite. You know, do aerobics for an hour. No, do the opposite, 180 degrees opposite. Do only 10 minutes. This is another great example. Burst training. Burst training is basically, for 10 minutes, you do an exercise on and off. So for 1 minute, and it's simple and easy, you could do just squats. Squat down in your room, squat back up, and on the upswing of that squat, raise your arms up above your head, and then add a little jump in there. And just do that back and forth, up and down for 1 minute only. That'll get your heart rate up, and after a minute, you'll be breathing pretty hard where you can't talk and hold a conversation. That means you did it fast enough, but just for 1 minute. And then for 2 minutes, you stop. You sit there and don't do anything. You rest. You get your breath back. You get where you can talk again. And after 2 minutes of rest, then you do another squat, arm lift, and jump. And you do that for a minute. And then you take a two-minute break. So you do that 3 times. That's about 9-10 minutes, and you're done. What that does is trigger growth hormone production. This is called burst or intermittent training, and it increases your growth hormone production, and that growth hormone is what will stimulate fat burn. And the effects of that 10 minutes last for 36 hours. So a 10-minute workout gives you a 36-hour fat burn signal, hormonally, a fat burn signal. Because that's the whole deal. You want to try to encourage the right hormones and discourage the wrong hormones. So what the world would tell you to do is go do aerobics for 45 straight minutes or get on the treadmill for 45 minutes or an hour and just get this constant pace going and get your heart rate to 60 to 80% max and stay there in that quote-unquote fat burn zone for 45 minutes. Well, you'll be in fat burn zone for 45 minutes, and then it shuts off. Your growth hormone production's actually blunted when you exercise that way. So you only get 45 minutes to an hour of fat burn hormone, and then it's shut off. So burst training is much more recommended in my clinic than any other training, and that's just three times a week, because that 36-hour effect, you don't need to do it every day.
But only for 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
See,
I've been doing it wrong.
Gives me a
It's easy. It's quick. Anybody can do it, and it requires no equipment. I mean, if you have equipment and you want to do it on a treadmill or you want to do it on a glider or a rowing machine or whatever you got, that's fine. But you can just simply stand in your room and do this squat jump I'm talking about. You can add a little hand weight to it if you want to. You can throw in a burpee. Just Google that, B-U-R-P-E-E, I believe. But basically that's where you take that squat all the way down to the ground and do kind of like a push-up position, then hop back up and jump back up.
What about strength training, though?
Yeah, strength training's good. Adding muscle is good. Muscle burns at a higher rate of metabolism, and it produces the right hormones that we want. So it's good to add a little weight in there. And there's lots of variations of this burst training. You can do burst training with weights. You can do kettlebells or little hand weights. But the point is the time. A minute on, 2 minutes off, minute on, 2 minutes off, just for 10 minutes.
So you're saying I usually aim for about 30 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. That's too much?
For bursting?
I vary up because I get bored.
You can vary things up, but the most efficient thing is the burst training. And if you can do bursts for 30 minutes, then you're not doing it intensely enough. During that 1 minute, if you go real intense, I mean, we're talking all out, as fast as you can, hard as you can, you'll be wiped out.
And bursts can come under different names, like HIIT training, Tabata.
Yeah, high-intensity interval training, Tabata, although it's in the same family. The idea is a short burst of real intense, and then you rest for a minute or two. Kind of like envision chasing your prey back in the day. And you're running, then you missed. And so you take a little break. And then you run some more, and then you take a little break. But that's the idea. This long, long 45, 1 hour, these marathon runners, that gets the wrong hormones produced. Your cortisol starts to go up. Cortisol is not the hormone that you want. It's going to shut your thyroid down, shut your metabolism down, and it's the opposite of what we want.
I used to spend like 2 hours in the gym.
Endurance training is not something I recommend. Burst training is much more effective. Hormonally, it induces the right kind of hormones, which that's the whole key. We're trying to get the right hormones produced. We're trying to shut down the wrong hormones, increase the right hormones, because fat storage is a hormone issue.
Text coming in saying, what about for children?
Same thing. I mean, kids kind of naturally do this on their own, playing chase, freeze tag.
Nah, they're in front of video games nowadays. They're not like we are.
That's true.
I'm
talking about kids on a playground if you forced them to put their video games down. But same type of deal. I mean, with kids, I try to encourage them just to do something they love. So do they love soccer? Do they love basketball? Do they love bike riding? Kids, just let them be active, and they'll naturally kind of do burst training all by themselves. They'll run, then they'll walk, they'll chase, then they'll climb.
I have one that doesn't like to move. Like, I made all of me and my girls, we worked out together this break, and I have one that's just like, she'd rather gouge her eyes out with toothpicks.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Find something they enjoy, even if that's walking around a park, playing frisbee golf. I mean, there is, kids CrossFit and exercise programs specifically for kids. And if they kind of like that environment, great. But otherwise, it's just encouraging them to do something they love.
Could you do this
skating
10 minutes more than once a day?
Yeah, you can. I mean, there's no rule to it. I'm just kind of saying the minimal is, for the hormone effect, 10 minutes every other day, you'll have the most beneficial hormone effect. But it's fine to do it, you know, longer, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. It's fine to do it every day.
Yeah, because, see, I've been doing that. I learned about this from you last year when we were talking about it.
Yeah.
So I'd been doing a lot of strength training in my workout, and I thought, well, I'll do the bursting that you're talking about. So now I have 1 year under my belt of doing it, when we talked about this last year, and it works. I mean, what I'll do is I do my strength training first, mm-hmm. and you can do a strength training program and make it a burst situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I don't do that because I know that if I'm going to do the burst right after, then I just, you know, I lift at a comfortable pace where I can still have a conversation with somebody as I'm working out.
Right.
Utilizing my own body weight for push-ups and strength training and all that. Then I go into my burst training, which I do on a treadmill, and I walk for a minute and a half, and then I hit it hard, 30 seconds. It's hard, flat out running.
Yeah.
And then I back off, and I'm barely moving, moving.
Yep.
Real slow speed. Then
That's
I hit
good.
It hard again. Now, some, as you get a little bit older, you know, I wouldn't recommend you just start doing that, because if you haven't trained that way, you're running the risk of injury.
Running, you mean?
Yeah, running. I run. Yeah, like running. I'm a runner. I love to run.
Yeah.
I like to run. Running for me, and I grew up as a kid as a state cross-country runner and that kind of thing. So I've always enjoyed running and being in the Army. That's all they do.
Yeah.
They go run 5 miles. You know, Army,
yeah.
Army.
Yeah, there's no
They don't do burst training in the Army. It's all, you know, long-distance endurance stuff. But
right.
all that aside, I'm just saying that I've grown up being a runner, so I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But the burst is a different animal, because it's basically like getting out in the backyard even. You could do it this way, where you get out and you sprint.
Mm-hmm.
For 30 seconds,
yeah.
and then you walk, if not completely come to a stop,
yeah.
and then sprint again after a couple of minutes, like you said.
Right.
And it is a very potent workout. It's like wind sprints, and wind sprints for a runner, as a long-distance runner, I hated wind sprints when my track coach would come out and go, hey, we're going to do 40-yard wind sprints. I would mm-hmm. just cringe. I'd say
yeah.
to myself, man, I'd rather go out and run a half marathon than do that.
Right.
Because they are brutal.
Yeah.
It's the same concept.
Yep, exactly right. And there's so many variations and different ways to do it. You know, some people go to the track and they'll run the curve, walk the straights, or vice versa. But the idea is short bursts of intense and then take a break. And the main message I want to get across to people is this is what works. This is the most beneficial thing.
It makes your HGH go through the roof.
Exactly.
And
Human growth hormone should be more aptly named the repair hormone, but it's the hormone that it decreases inflammation and encourages cellular health. And it repairs broken parts of the cell, things that are damaged through just normal everyday processes. So you want to increase growth hormone. It's kind of the anti-aging hormone. It's the way that you will live healthier and have an increased quality of life. So you want to encourage growth hormone production, and that's what the burst does. But I don't want to leave out the most important thing that influences your hormones, which is the food that goes in your mouth. It's not the amount of food, it's the kind of food. It's what hormones does this food induce. You don't want to induce insulin spikes, and we talk about this, I feel like till I'm blue in the face, I talk about this all the time, but you know, watching these shows over the holidays just reinvigorated me to continue to get the message out there. You want to avoid foods that spike your insulin. That's what it's about. That's what that one chef knew, and that's why she was using coconut oil and bacon fat and all the good healthy fats. Eating fat does not make you fat. Eating things that spike insulin is what makes you fat. Insulin is a hormone, and it is a hormone that tells you to store fat. So the foods that do that are your grains and sugars, mostly sugar, but unfortunately the grains have been modified, hybridized, altered genetically to a point that they spike our insulin. I mean, 2 pieces of whole wheat bread will raise your blood sugar, which therefore raises your insulin, as fast as a can of soda. So this whole wheat thing, when Norman Borlaug hybridized the wheat in 1970 and he won the Nobel Prize for it, he changed the wheat from ancient wheat, which is 4 to 5 foot tall, he changed it to dwarf wheat. And he did that because he wanted to increase yields, which he did. The yields are 10 times greater. He made it drought resistant, wind resistant. So basically you could produce a whole lot more wheat per acre, and he cured world hunger, and he won the Nobel Prize for it. But two things happened with that hybridization. Number one, the starch content of that wheat changed, and it changed such that the starch breaks down into sugar much more rapidly. Number two, he produced a whole new set of gluten molecules. So these are new glutens that the human body doesn't recognize, and that's why in 1970 nobody was gluten sensitive, and now everybody, it seems like, has some degree of gluten sensitivity. It's because they're new proteins that we've never seen before. So two different ways of having harmful effects that will cause you to store fat. Number one, the insulin spike from the starch in the grains, and number two, the inflammatory effect of the gluten. Inflammation tells you to store fat too. So that's why we harp on pull the grains back, especially modern man-made grains. Ancient grains aren't such a big issue. And pull the sugar back. Sugars and everything. Those two things will spike your insulin, and insulin tells you to store fat. So low sugar, low grain is the way to go. Basically, low carb.
All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning. Welcome into the show.
Good morning. Yeah, I wanted to call in because the information I'm hearing about, you know, the burst training is consistent with some of the things that I've seen lately. I pay attention to some of the special forces, military-style workouts, and, you know, I was surprised to see that there's new information coming out about workouts that are basically 1 by 20, and the idea is that you fail on, you want to be failing at about your 20th rep, and they do about 12 to 15 different exercises with just one set by 20 reps, and as far as the minute goes, that's probably pretty consistent with what you're talking about there. But I was amazed to see a 1 by 20 being a lot more beneficial than, you know, kind of what I grew up conventionally in sports and things like that, doing several sets, you know, 10, 15 reps and things like that. So that may be something you want to research, Dr. Edwards, and follow up on that, and maybe some of your listeners that are interested in more intensive workouts would be interested in a 1 by 20. You can research 1 by 20 combat fitness type thing, and I guess it was developed on bases, you know, with like Humvee springs and things like that, that they could just get on hand and keep their fitness level up. But that's what they found gave them the best endurance, and there's science behind it now showing that it's a good beneficial thing, and that is consistent with what you're talking about, Dr. Edwards.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's interesting. I'll have to look into that, but it fits perfectly. And again, the reason why, because the hormone induction, when you can increase growth hormone production significantly, you're going to have tremendous benefit on not only the lean muscle mass, but just the function of the cell.
Right.
So that's...
And it was, I was surprised because it was both endurance and strength they were getting out of that particular type of workout. And it was kind of getting, you know, so it wasn't, you know, a cardio type situation and then a strength type burst situation. It was just a 1 by 20 with 12 to 15 different exercises and done. And that was giving them best endurance and best strength in combat environments.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
All right.
That's good to know.
I appreciate the call.
We'll look into that.
I was going to say that, the Army is also looking at right now that... Big debate going on in the Army, because when I was in the Army I retired 5 years ago, but back then, as little as 5 years ago, you had the Army physical fitness test, and it was a 2-mile run. How many push-ups can you do in 2 minutes, and how many sit-ups can you do in 2 minutes? Now they're rethinking that. Now, 5 years later, what Josh is talking about there, called in, is the Army's looking at it saying, well, wait, we need to have more agility top Army physical fitness, not only training, but testing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one thing to say, yeah, I can go out and run the 2-miler in 12 minutes, 6 minutes a mile, and that's great. You know, that's you're a peak performance, whatever. But it's a whole nother program when you start saying, but how much can you do in this 1-minute burst or this 2-minute deal?
Mm-hmm.
And then the 2-minute drills and then the rest and all that. So the Army's really trying to factor in this new way of looking at physical fitness, because when on active duty and not in a combat environment, if you're on active duty or even in the reserves, the physical fitness APF, not the test, but the physical fitness aspects of it, has always been, up until recently, just go out and run forever and ever and ever in formation. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go to the ball field and we'll do some push-ups and we'll do some sit-ups, which are not really good for you, and train for the test, mm-hmm. kind of mindset.
Yep.
And the Army now is saying, no, that's really not working out so hot.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing more soldiers now that are staying fatter and fatter and fatter, and the Army's trying to grapple with this, going, well, what are we doing wrong here with our physical fitness training?
Yep.
And when we see our readiness going down, physically going down, and these old, you know, rules don't apply anymore, and they're really trying to figure it out, and so that's what's going on.
Right. And again, I want to go back to, you can only get so much done from a fitness standpoint, from an exercise standpoint. If you combine this with the right kind of foods going in your mouth, then that's where the magic really happens. So like we were just talking about before Josh called in, foods that spike insulin, you want to avoid. Insulin is a pro-inflammatory hormone.
True.
And real quick, I just want to review with the listeners, hormones, if you recall, those are just messengers. That's basically what runs our body, what runs the show. We used to think the DNA, the genes, the chromosomes were where the action was, when it's not. I mean, the genes just sit there. We're born with this set of genes. We get half from our mom, half from our dad, but they're just sitting there inside the nucleus, not doing a darn thing. It's kind of like books on a bookshelf, I describe. The books are just sitting there. They're full of information, but they're just sitting there. They can't do a thing. You've got to instruct that librarian on which bookshelf to go to, which row, which book, which page do you open up to, what paragraph do you read, and then someone's got to read it and then go perform and do what it says. So the genes are just information. The things that control the genes and turn those genes on and off and read the information, actually get the work done, that's controlled by these hormones. So hormones are messengers that get excreted from one gland and go to another gland and go to different organs and basically turn these genes on and off. So the hormones is where the magic happens. You want to induce the healthy hormones and not so much the hormones that drive inflammation. And again, insulin's a pro-inflammatory hormone, and it is a fat storage hormone. A
couple more texts to get to. Jennifer asks, is using Ezekiel bread for sandwiches a good option for my kids' school lunches?
Yes, it is a good option. Now, let me put an asterisk on that, because I used to promote Ezekiel bread all the time when people were moving off of the standard American diet, which is very high in processed grains and sugars. And I would tell them, hey, just make a quick flip, that bread, the standard bread, change it to Ezekiel, and they would. But for the really chronically inflamed, chronically challenged, sick patient, any carb, including a healthier carb like Ezekiel bread, can still spike the insulin enough to keep the patient sick. So if the kids are healthy and they're getting a balanced diet otherwise, plenty of good fat, plenty of good color, purples, greens, yellows, Ezekiel bread's fine. But what I would not do is Ezekiel bread toast in the morning with honey and syrup on it only, and then Ezekiel bread it for lunch mainly with, you know, not much else, and then Ezekiel noodles at night. You don't want to have that consistent carb all the time. You know, the carb really needs to be, if you think of that old food pyramid, you know, flip it upside down. You want to eat mostly fats, so real butter and avocados and walnuts and almonds and pecans and, you know, coconut oil, olive oil. That's the top. That's the biggest, that's the base. If you flip that pyramid upside down, you want to consume mostly fats, and then after that, color, vegetables, and then a little bit of carb. So I call it high fat, moderate protein, low carb. And Ezekiel bread's a fine carb. What that is a sprouted ancient grain. So number one, those grains haven't been modified by man. Number two, they're sprouted. So when you sprout a grain, it kind of digests some of those more pro-inflammatory molecules like the gluten, and it makes it have less of a sugar spike. So I do like the Ezekiel bread.
Next question. How does a person, Dean asking, how does a person get signed up to start working your program?
Basically, veritasmedical.com. Click on the button that talks about becoming a new patient, or you can just call us at 1-855-6-VERITAS and ask for a new patient appointment, and they will send you an email with some of the information on how our program works. Which, in a nutshell, how the program works is we're just going to teach you. That's the Latin root of doctor, is to teach or teacher. And we're going to teach you all these concepts of truth about how to bring inflammation down. Every disease is inflammation-based, whether you're talking eczema or rheumatoid arthritis or cancer or diabetes or obesity or insomnia or depression or dementia, you name it. All these are inflammation-based diseases. So we're going to teach you how to bring inflammation down. Like we've been talking about here, we've been talking about weight and in regards to insulin telling you to store fat. But insulin's a pro-inflammatory hormone, so even if weight is not the main thing we're going after, we're still going to bring the carbs and sugars down because insulin isn't a pro-inflammatory hormone all by itself. So that's basically, in a nutshell, we're going to teach you how to bring inflammation down by putting in the right stuff, put the right nutrients in, and avoid the wrong nutrients. And then we're going to detoxify you. We're going to remineralize you. It sounds kind of complicated, but it's really not. It's these very basic things that if we miss the basic things, we end up chasing symptoms all day long. And it's fine. We can chase symptoms. There's lots of nutraceutical supplements we can use to treat various ailments, but it's hard to do that. And you're constantly having to, those symptoms will keep coming back on you. So the more I get into this, the more I realize we can't miss the very basics. If you miss, say, magnesium, you don't remineralize enough with magnesium, the downstream effect of that is so huge that almost every symptom that walks in our door could be from magnesium deficiency. So you don't want to miss these very basic things of remineralization of the body. But that's kind of a long answer. Go to the website or call the office, and they can get you started.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. If you have a question along the way, text in 806-745-5800 or call in 745-5800 right back after this.
Listen to your body. It may be telling you it's missing something. When we're missing omega-3s, we can feel run down, stiff, achy, or have a hard time focusing and handling stress. Omega-3s are vastly deficient in the American food supply, and we can't achieve optimal health without them. Nordic Naturals fish oils provide a convenient way to get the omega-3s you need and deliver industry-leading purity, freshness, and taste. Visit Natural Health Market at 4414 82nd Street in the Village Shopping Center.
Are you experiencing low back pain, neck pain, headaches, or pain as a result of an injury? Then let me introduce you to my chiropractor, Dr. Carla Haddock. Dr. Haddock has been practicing chiropractic care for many years, specializing in diversified treatment, drop table, cold laser therapy, and acupuncture. No expensive treatment plans, and your initial exam is free. If you're looking to improve your health and experience a pain-free lifestyle, then call Dr. Haddock at 239-7190. That's 239-7190. Call for your free initial exam today. Haddock Chiropractic is a proud sponsor of the morning health show, You're the Cure, with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, every Monday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on AM 580 Radio. Haddock Chiropractic, 239-7190.
Vitamins Plus is a full-line health food store located inside Drug Emporium on the corner of 82nd Slide Road. Right now, we have a very large selection of natural cold, flu, and allergy remedies. It's that time of year to build up your immunity to help you fight off this year's bugs. If we don't have it in stock, what you're looking for, then we can special order it. Texas owned and operated for over 20 years. Good for you groceries at great for you prices. That's Vitamins Plus inside Drug Emporium, 82nd and Slide Road. Get by and see us today. Hey, you know, with 2017 here now, if you're looking for healthy alternatives to fast food, wanting to feel good, lose weight, and have more energy, then I suggest Freshy Restaurant, just north of 82nd Street on Milwaukee, in the Hub Shopping Center. Excellent salads, wraps, burritos, soups, smoothies, juices, grilled egg pockets, breakfast bowls, breakfast burritos, it's all there. You can eat in, take out, or have it delivered to you, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You'll get really healthy food that your body needs. You must come by and learn about how their Mealbox plans will help you achieve optimum health. Visit Freshy today, just north of 82nd Street on Milwaukee Avenue. See our website, freshy.com, or call 319-9678. That's 319-9678. Again, freshii.com, freshii.com, and come by and see us today and have a great meal at Freshy Restaurant. We're visiting with Dr. Flippin with Exodus New Beginnings. You can always check out the website, exodusnb.com. Go there, check it out. Dr. Flippin, tell us about chelation therapy and why IV chelation therapy is better than oral chelation therapy.
Well, first of all, I'd like to tell you, Wade, about chelation, what it is. And basically, it is an agent that pulls heavy metals out of your body. Heavy metals get stored in your bones and your organs. And so that's what chelation is. Basically, the IV chelation is a lot more effective because you get a higher dose. So the oral chelating agents only have a tenth of the dose of an IV chelation. So you would have to do 10 times more oral chelations, plus the fact that they're only 23% absorbed. So do the math. At 23%, it's 40 times longer.
Oh, yeah. And we all know that we're exposed to environmental toxins and a lot of heavy metals and fillings in our teeth. I mean, we've got it all over the place. And this really helps to combat diseases related to those heavy metals, right?
Exactly. And one of the diseases is coronary artery disease.
Wow, yeah.
The heavy metals actually cause inflammation, which starts the cascade of coronary artery disease.
Be sure to visit the new location at 7711 Woodrow Road. That's 7711 Woodrow Road. Or call 863-3903. That's 863-3903. You can always visit the website, exodusnb.com.
Welcome back to You're the Cure right here on AM 580 with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, with Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. And, of course, our number, 1-855-6-VERITAS, at the clinic right there at 1802 East 50th right here in Lubbock. All right, let's go out to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome into the show.
Good morning, y'all. Hope you all have a good morning.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, no problem. Just a couple questions for him real quick.
Yep.
First of all, what do you think, does probiotics play a role in anything, and then as far as inflammation and things like that? The second question is, I've been starting to take coconut oil, and there's tons of varieties. I mean, there's, you know, the cheap kind, there's the expensive kind. I mean, what do you recommend as far as supplements for coconut oil? And I'll just hang up that list. Thanks.
Thank you for the call.
All right, yeah, thank you. First question, the probiotics, do they have an effect on inflammation? Absolutely. When we were talking about the genes just being books on a bookshelf and it's the hormones that turn genes on and off, there are other things that turn genes on and off, and the bacteria in your gut actually are a big part of what turns your genes on and off. These bacteria produce certain chemicals that interact with our DNA, even microRNA. MicroRNA is the on-off switches. We used to call it junk DNA. It didn't code for protein, so we didn't know what it did, but now we know they're on-off switches. They turn the protein coding genes on and off. 15% of the micro DNA, or the on-off switches in your bloodstream, are from the bacteria in your gut. So you want the right blend of probiotics in the gut, affecting your DNA in a positive way. If you don't have the right number of probiotics in the gut and enough variety and the right kinds, then you'll be in a more pro-inflammatory state. And we do tons of things in the American diet and lifestyle that disrupt our normal probiotic flora. Chlorinated water, antibiotics, 80% of the antibiotics produced in America are actually found in our meat and our dairy. So commercial meat and dairy are one of the most harmful things to your gut flora. Glyphosate, which is Roundup, which is ubiquitous in our food supply now, it kills your gut flora. Birth control pills kill the gut flora. Artificial sweeteners like Splenda kills 50% of your gut flora. So you want to try to eat a clean diet for lots of reasons, but that's one of them. You want to nourish your bugs and not kill them. As far as the coconut oil, there are a lot of brands out there. Basically, I try to have people eat an extra virgin coconut oil or organic coconut oil. Supplements, I don't you know, there are a lot of supplemental forms of coconut oil. The MCT is probably what I would go with. Medium chain triglycerides is what that stands for, MCT oil. It comes from coconut oil, but it's clear and odorless and tasteless, and you can cook with it. You can add it to coffee to make bulletproof coffee. So I really like MCT oil.
You want unrefined, right, versus refined coconut oil?
Unrefined is most beneficial, but really all forms of coconut oil are okay, relatively speaking, to like Crisco and corn and soy and all those vegetable oils. But the unrefined, Nutivia is a good brand I like. But yes, I like unrefined. And coconut oil can be used kind of in place of Crisco or in place of lots of different fats in the recipes. Avocado oil is another great fat you can use. It has a high smoke point, which even a good fat can become a bad fat if you heat it up too much. Olive oil has a lower smoke point, so it will go rancid if you get it above about 290 or 300 degrees. So you don't want to cook high heat with olive oil. It's great for sauteing. It's great to eat raw, like on a salad. You know, we made some pesto last night and used a lot of good olive oil, but you don't want to heat that thing up too much. But avocado oil, you can get that high heat. Macadamia nut oil can go high heat. Even animal fats like lard, grass-fed butter, these are great options to cook with. So kind of people that are just starting out, and don't want to be overwhelmed, I tell them just make three simple switches, easy maneuvers you can do in your pantry. Switch number one is the fat. You want to get rid of your bad fats and put in your good fats. So that's something pretty easy to do. Get rid of margarine, get real butter, preferably grass-fed and organic. Switch out your Crisco, get coconut oil, the other oils I just mentioned. So that's one switch. Just flip your fats to healthy fats. Your cell membranes are made of fats. All those hormone receptors, we're talking about all these different hormones, but you can't forget the hormone receptor. Hormones are like a key, but the key's got to fit into the keyhole. And the keyholes are all over your cell membranes. And the cell membranes are made of fat. So if you have a pro-inflammatory fat, like the Crisco and the canola, soy, and corn oil, those cell membranes are going to be totally on fire. They're going to be so inflamed. So your hormone receptors get bent out of shape, and you can't make that good connection, so your hormones are dysfunctional because the keyholes are bent out of shape. So
on the probiotic thing, just so we're clear, that I've heard you say before on the show that a good, you know, balanced probiotic that has, what is it, I don't know, billions of different, you know, back
100 billion would be great, and maybe 8 or 9 or 10 different strains.
Yes, but don't just stick with that one brand.
Right, rotate.
You know, rotate the bottles. In other words, like take that one up and then go get another different brand
right.
with that same requirement, but a different form. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
A different form.
Yeah, Prescriptassist is a good one. Dr. O'Hara's has a good one. VSL number 3 is a good one. Garden of Life has a good one. Probiotic 225 from Orthomolecular is a good one. Lots of good ones out there. But fermented foods are even better than that. I mean, probiotics in a capsule are fine, but fermented foods, kimchi, sauerkraut, non-pasteurized. When you pasteurize these things, it kills all the good
stuff.
What
about raw milk?
Raw milk
as a
good.
Probiotic.
It's got some good bugs in it, but if you can ferment that raw milk, then even better. You exponentially increase the number of bugs. So making the kefir, making yogurt, it's real easy to do. You get some starter culture and just yogurt. You'll have yogurt coming out your ears. So fermented foods are great. I want to mention real quick the other two quick flipperoos or switches you can make in your pantry. So we talked about the fats. That's switch number one. Switch number two is your grains. So take out your corn and wheat and put in your ancient grains. So you can use quinoa. You can use arameth. You can use millet, spelt, teff, or coconut and almond flour. And there's lots of good recipes out there for that. So flip the grains. And then the last one's flip your sugar. Take out your sugar, put in stevia. Now just get a straight stevia, nothing else. A lot like Truvia and some of these others, they add other things to it. You don't want the other things, especially if it ends in OSE, dextrose, maltose, fructose. All of those OSEs, that's sugar. That's a form of sugar. It's a sugar alcohol, so erythritol and xylitol, the OL, those are sugar alcohols. Those are not absorbed. They only stay in the gut, so they don't spike insulin. They don't cause the fat storage. They are sweet. sweet. So those are allowable, although I am reading some research that shows it can disrupt your probiotic flora a little bit, nothing like Splenda and the artificial sweeteners. So I'd put them probably second tier. They're okay to use, especially on occasion. But your kind of go-to every day would be coconut sugar or stevia. And I would go a little more moderation on your sugar alcohols like erythritol and xylitol.
What about chicory root?
Chicory root's great. It's a sweet root, and they grind it up. It's a fiber, so it's not absorbed either. So it's another really good option. Chicory root, coconut sugar, and stevia are your top tier for sure. You know, special occasions, making a dessert that's rare or a special thing, you know, organic cane sugar is fine. It just doesn't need to be every day. You know, the average American's eating a pound every 2 days. So eating a little bit here and there is okay, but maple syrup has a lot of good minerals in it. The blackstrap molasses is good. Local honey is good. These are good options for desserts. So flip the sugars, flip the grains, and flip your fats. Those are your three easy flips.
About if somebody can't afford, because I know ideally you want to eat mostly organic, but if you just can't afford it.
Yeah, I'd go to your Clean 15 Dirty Dozen list. That's Environmental Working Group. They keep an updated list on the cleanest foods that aren't organic. You know, like avocados, you're going to peel that skin off, and I don't think they spray Roundup on avocados anyways, but they give you a list of all those foods that are pretty clean, even if they're not organic. So I would go with those. Organics are going to tend to have more minerals because the soil has more minerals because the soil has more bugs, and you got to have the bugs in the soil to release the minerals into the plant. So that's another good reason to get those in. And that kind of brings us to detoxification. Roundup and other pesticides and chemicals, like I said, are ubiquitous in our food supply. 70% of the rainwater has Roundup in it. We did a few shows on Roundup in the fall. It's not just Roundup or glyphosate, which is the main ingredient in Roundup. It's all these other toxins we're exposed to. Environmental Working Group, the WHO, the World Health Organization, back in 1974 said 84% of all chronic disease was toxin-related. It's something like 30 to 40% of diabetes is toxin-related. Weight loss resistance is toxicity-related, toxin-related. We talked about not eating grain and sugar and doing some burst training to lose weight. If someone's still not losing weight after that, the first thing I'm going to is detoxification. The fat is where these toxins are stored. Most all toxins in the body are fat-soluble toxins, so you store them in your fat. And if your fat's full of toxins and you start to go into fat burn mode with your burst training and eating low carb, and you're still not losing weight, it's because you're dumping toxins into your bloodstream from the fat cells, and the body can't handle it. Your kidney and liver and colon are not in a good enough shape to handle that toxic burden, and it'll shut down your fat metabolism. So that's when we go into a detoxification protocol. And there's lots of detoxes and cleanses that people do, especially in the new year. There's colon cleanses, liver cleanses, gallbladder flushes, juice cleanse, water fast, all these different things, all of which are beneficial. But I find that these, you know, 1 or 2 or 10 day cleanses, that's you're not really getting at the root of the issue. Mostly you're hitting downstream detox pathways with those kind of cleanses, and it's fine. But if you're sick, you're inflamed, you're not losing weight, then you really got to get to the cell. You've got to detox the cell. And the way to do that, I found, in my opinion, the best way to do that is true cellular detox. That's a program established by Dr. Dan Pompa. He's one of my mentors. TrueCellularDetox.com, I believe, is his website. And it's a very comprehensive, thorough detoxification program. It spends 1 month on the prep phase, which prep phase means it's prepping the colon, liver, and kidney. It's also prepping the cell by reestablishing normal cell membranes with good fats. It's reestablishing your methylation. Methylation's a chemical process in the body that's needed for detoxification. So you're kind of setting the stage and setting all these pathways up for success during that 1 month prep phase, and then you do a 1 month body phase. That's where you're starting to release toxins from just your body tissue. You do that for a month, and then your final month, your third month, is brain phase. And the brain is really where you're trying to get, because the hormone control tower, so to speak, is a hypothalamus, and that's in your brain. And if the hypothalamus is toxic, which it typically is, your glandular tissue, your fatty tissues tend to store the toxins, the hypothalamus in particular. And if that thing's dysfunctional and full of toxins, then your hormone cascades downstream are all going to be dysfunctional. So really getting the brain phase of a detox program is what you got to get to, and most people need multiple rounds of the brain phase. And True Cellular Detox hits all that beautifully. He also touches on burst training. He touches on low-carb eating. He touches on intermittent fasting. He touches on ketogenic diet, which is a diet eating 80% fat. So, I mean, it's a very thorough, comprehensive program full of videos and articles that educate the patient or client
what
as they're going through.
What was his name again, that doctor's name?
Dr. Pompa, P-O-M-P-A. I will say that his detox program is a practitioner-based program. Just the general public can't get on and just do it. You have to find a clinic that's been trained by Dr. Pompa and has bought a prescription to the program. You know, it's like a $3,000 program, but clinics have the ability to bring that price down. So for our members, it's just the cost of the supplements. And it's just a great program. So I'm not bashing, you know, the juice cleanse, colon cleanse, those kind of things. Those are fine. I'm just telling you for most of our patients that are really inflamed, you got to go a lot deeper. You got to get to the cell. If you can't get the cell membrane cleaned up, you can't get the hormone receptors cleaned up. You know, leptin. Leptin's another hormone we haven't talked about. We discovered leptin in 1994. There's this genetic group of mice. They're called the OB, stands for obesity mice. And it's just this certain breed of mice that the labs use, that scientists use in the research lab. If you want to study obesity, you use this particular strain of mice. And forever, we never knew why these guys were obese. We just knew they were. But in 1994, we discovered, there's a doctor that discovered these mice are obese because they lack leptin. And leptin is a hormone that tells you to burn fat. And these mice just didn't have it. So in 1994, the kind of scientific community went wild. We thought we figured out the cure to obesity. It's just a lack of leptin. So if we just give everybody a leptin shot, they'll be fine. Pharmaceutical companies went nuts. They were seeing trillion-dollar signs in their eyes. But very quickly, we figured out that in humans, obese humans, they have leptin. And in fact, they had way too much leptin floating around in their bloodstream. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't an issue with a lack of leptin, the hormone that tells you to burn fat. It was leptin resistance, just like insulin resistance. We produce more and more of this hormone when the keyhole can't see the key. It's all about these inflamed, jacked up, bent up, banged up keyholes. And that means the cell membrane's inflamed. So it all goes back down to inflammation. So we've got to tackle these things from an inflammatory standpoint. And people become insulin and leptin resistant when their body sees too much insulin and leptin all the time. And the reason you'll see that all the time is because you're eating food that's inducing insulin and leptin spikes, which is your carbs, your grains and sugars. So it's kind of beautiful how all these things correlate back down to some very basic tenets. Eat real food, low glycemic food, that means foods that don't spike your blood sugar. Plenty of good fats, plenty of good colorful vegetables, clean meat, nuts, seeds, and eggs. That's the basic diet of health right there. And eat those things intermittently, meaning eat them in a 4 to 6 hour window. If you're really going for optimal health, intermittent fasting will absolutely drop inflammation, increase growth hormone, do all the great things hormonally that we want when you intermittent fast, which means just don't eat. You just skip those meals. So don't eat for a day, don't eat for 2 days, 3 days, however many days you want to. 18 hours is the minimum. So eat lunch and supper and don't eat after, 7 o'clock at night and all the way till the next day at lunch. There's 18 hours. And mix it up. It's called diet variation. So do an 18-hour fast one day, eat normal the next day, do a couple 18-hour fasts in a row, do a 24 or 48-hour fast. Just mix it up. So these are all topics that will bring inflammation down and bring the right hormones up.
I like everything you say except fasting.
Fasting's awesome. It really is.
It
but
scares me.
Why does it scare you, Melanie?
Because I feel so bad when I don't eat. And the brain fog is just so hard to function through.
When we get your mouth cleaned up, you'll be in good shape. which maybe we'll talk
which
about
that.
Which
is the second thing you say that scares me.
We'll get a biological dentist on here who can explain how the mouth, root canals, and amalgam fillings can drive inflammation in the body and in the brain and cause hormone dysregulation. And when you have hormone dysregulation, a lot of these things I'm talking about, you know, patients don't feel good. And mm-hmm. that's where we have to figure out. And that's Dr. Pompa's first, he has a thing called the 5 R's of health. And the first R is remove the source. He doesn't go to ketogenic, intermittent fasting, low carb, detox, any burst training. He doesn't go to any of that mm-hmm. until you remove the source. Mm-hmm. Until the source of inflammation is identified and removed, you're spinning your wheels.
I know.
And the mouth is a huge place.
One quick text before we wrap up says, do you have any experience with oxy powder?
Oxy powder, I'm not familiar with that.
P-O-W.
Powder? Like what you
powder? P-O-W-D-E-R.
Washer?
Oxy. Yeah, it sounds like
wash your laundry with. I'm sure that's not it, but oxygenate the cells, something along those lines.
Powder.
Oxy Power colon cleanser is what I'm when I just typed it into Google here. Let me see. Ingredients are magnesium and some citric acid. Basically, you're getting magnesium there, and I love magnesium. And that version of magnesium oxide and citric acid, basically that's going to stimulate your bowels. So you'll be on the pot, which is fine. I mean, we need to get, that's the way the body gets rid of toxins. The liver grabs it out of your blood, filters your blood, grabs the toxins, puts it to your bile. Your bile gets squirted by your gallbladder into the intestine. The intestine dumps it to the colon to the rectum to the toilet. So if you can kind of speed that process up, that's great. But again, that's a downstream. The colon is way downstream. We're talking about getting to the cell and fixing the cell membrane.
That's
and,
a totally different package. I mean, a totally different protocol.
So. Right. That's okay if you're a little on the constipated side. Magnesium is going to help induce stimulation of that bowel to move. It's fine to take it. We take MAG all the time with our patients, but it's not going to get to the source of inflammation.
Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, everybody, appreciate you being with us, Dr. Edwards, on the show, and look forward to seeing you back here next Monday on You're the Cure. Of course, check out our website, too, veritasmedical.com. Any final thoughts, Dr. Edwards? We appreciate your time and see you back here next Monday on the show. But anything else? I think with 2017, everybody, you know, again, that this is information overload, but don't feel like it's too much. Let's start with the basics and I think that's what happens with a lot of people in 2017. They read so many different articles, so much information out there that it's overwhelming, and they throw their hands up and say, I'm just not going to do anything. It's just too much.
Exactly. Well, if they can just make the three flips, flip your grain, flip your sugar, flip your fats, and then do 10 minutes of that burst training that we talked about at the beginning of the show, I mean, that's simple and easy. Just do that, and you'll see some amazing stuff.
All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate you being with us on the show. See you back here next Monday.